Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Unlimited Podcast Works. And with me is... That's another thing for us to decide on. Do you want to use your online handle or your real name?
Ken is fine.
Just Ken. Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Yeah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Unlimited Podcast Works. I'll be your host, Plaid, and with me is Ken, whose idea it was to start doing a podcast regularly, and I think it's a very good one. We have a number of topics to discuss today, but I'll let Ken advance the very first one.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Chrono Trigger on the DS. Just, what do you think about it, Jake?
Well, I'm an older fan, so I was playing Japanese RPGs back on the Super NES back in the day, and I absolutely adored Chrono Trigger for the following reasons. One, it was a very big world. And not only that, but you could change
it. It's multiple worlds.
Yeah, I know, but you could change it by traveling through time in that time machine. And I really enjoyed that. That was a feature that should have been included in the sequel, Chrono Cross. But I guess that would have been too much work for them to do. But as far as the original game, there was something else. I love the combo system in that game, where you could come up with all these strange combinations of attacks by switching out different party members. And the characters were really well written. They may be archetypes, but they felt like they were really well developed to me. And I felt that sometimes that they were more real than some of the fake people that I dealt with regularly every day.
Did you think that anything was missing from the game that you think should be addressed in the DS version, or do you think that the game, as far as story or gameplay-wise, it pretty much felt, you know, complete?
As far as gameplay-wise, I don't really think that there's a whole lot that they could add to it, because it ran really, really well, and the combat and so on was fun, so... But the only thing I wish is I wish that the game was longer. I wanted more stuff for me to go through before I got to the end. And I was very glad that there were so many multiple endings, but I still would have liked for the journey to be longer.
Yeah, one thing, it's not really a big deal, but I remember Magus, some of his texts, they didn't come off as original as some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Oh, it's been a while. Why don't you refresh my memory for the... And also do that for our audience members.
It's been a while, but I just remember some of the texts, they seemed kind of generic, whereas it didn't seem like he was as part of the team as the, you know, some of the other texts, that which, for example, you know, with Robo splashing the water and everything. I didn't really remember much with that involving Magus, mainly because he was he could use all of the fire, you know, water, ice, earth attacks, whereas each other character was specifically mm-hmm. one of those elements.
Yeah, they were attuned with a particular type of elemental. Yeah, Chrono with lightning. Merle had ice, and Frog had water, if memory serves me right.
Correct.
Luca had fire, and... who else had fire? Was it the cave girl, Ayla, or was it someone else?
I forget what she didn't really have an element. All I remember she had like a dinosaur fall on the screen or something like that.
Yeah, she was the brute force type character.
Yeah, you know what's funny is the you know about the problem with the artwork for the game, like for the cover of the game, how it has. Marley, I believe that's her name. She's using fire, but mm-hmm. she's not the fire person.
Right.
And then even on the DS, it's still, from what I saw so far, it's the same cover, and they still haven't fixed that.
Are they just not able to use the Japanese artwork like they are with a lot of games, or is this an actual Akira Toriyama picture?
Well, it is an actual Akira Toriyama picture. In fact, let me pull up real quick. I'll send that your way. And yeah, if you want to check that out,
Okay.
The DS cover is the same from what I was noticing.
Okay, that is exactly the same as the one for the DS. And you're right, she is using a fire spell on his sword.
Yeah, and you know she doesn't use fire in the game, so it's kind of interesting how that.
I kind of felt unique playing through this because I didn't like any of the guy's other projects, except for perhaps the Dragon Quest series of games and the short anime for that, which I kind of was fond of because I was the right age to watch something like that when it was on. I was about 12, and I quickly became addicted to that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm just not a Dragon Ball Z type person, you could say.
What else did he do as far as the? What I'm trying to think if he had any other claim to fames per se. Looks like he did the character designs for Toeball, which I didn't think what I thought it was kind of a good idea, but at the time it came out, it was really first generation. The gameplay and the graphics scene, you know, if you play it today, it's just pretty much a joke. I never played Toeball. Well, I did play Toeball 2 for a brief period of time. I remember some of the characters were really crazy, like you could play as a dragon and things like that. But it just seemed something more of a novelty. It was a very short-lived experience, despite how much they tried to expand that. I never played Blue Dragon either. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that game.
Oh, that's the one that came out for the Xbox, but hasn't yet come over to the PS3.
Correct.
Do you think it's going that to?
It's possible. I think that we've been running out of numbers of exclusive. Even the one Xbox 360 RPG that was really, it was really being hyped up, and then it ended up just sucking was, what was it called, Enchant Arms, or Enchanted Arms?
I think that's the one.
Yes. Yeah, I watched someone play that, and I was I was completely turned off by it, and
very underwhelmed, huh?
Yeah, it was actually, to put at best, it was embarrassing, and so, I mean, watching him play it was bad enough, and then picturing myself playing it was, I wouldn't want to be caught with that controller.
I understand. Yeah.
So, but back to Chrono Trigger, what are some things that you think they should add? I mean, I know they announced a couple of things, but do you think there's anything as far as you're concerned that they should add to it?
Well, one thing that I would like to have are more mission-type things for you to do as you travel through time, and as long as it doesn't directly affect the main story, I think that they could probably put that in without it hurting the game that much.
Well, you know that they are supposedly adding a new final boss. If you heard about that.
So it's not going to be Lavos anymore?
Well, this is from what I understand, I think it's partially because many people were disappointed with Lavos's final form. When you go into a new game plus,
right.
There's some kind of optional dungeon, and if you complete the dungeon, it opens up a potential new final boss. I'm not really sure how that works with the storyline, or if this
is fan
just
fiction.
Yeah. But that's what from a lot of forums and everything. That's what I've been hearing a lot about.
Well, I'm kind of interested in that. I mean, I like the idea of it. As long as they don't really mess with the story too much. Sometimes when they come back to try and reimagine something, they don't find a way to capture the same energy, the same excitement that the original work had.
Yeah. Well, I remember in Final Fantasy VI Advance, there was some things I was kind of happy about because that was a game most fans felt that there were a few missing links that weren't really addressed, and one of the biggest after, you know, the port of, to PlayStation, which, well, was kind of underwhelming. And then finally the Advance had fixed something. The, I believe it's the Czar Dragon, if you've heard about that story.
Fill me in.
The Czar Dragon was an enemy that was cut out of the final version of Final Fantasy VI or, you know, 3 for Super Nintendo. And then it was its sprite was still existent in the game's data as well as its dialogue.
Right.
And then when the PlayStation version came out, it was, you know, it still wasn't found anywhere. So when they released the Advance version, they included him as, you know, not just a new boss, but they also redrew his sprite and everything. So
okay. So was he a hidden enemy like Warmech in the original Final Fantasy then, or what happened with him in the new version?
If I remember correctly, when you unlock the dragon dungeon, what happened was there's a dragon dungeon you can unlock when you defeat all the normal dragons, and then when you unlock the dungeon, you have to refight all the dragons, and eventually at the end of the dungeon, you refight the Czar Dragon, which previously was unavailable. And not only on top of that was they include the Omega weapon, which was a palette swap of the Atma weapon, but whereas, you know, now in Final Fantasy, we're seeing a lot of the Atma weapon and the Omega weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Final Fantasy VI is part of that.
Okay.
Type, you know, series of bosses.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and probably put my my pre-order for the game because I don't imagine it's going to cost that much since it's a DS game.
And it actually costs $40, believe it or not.
Well, that's about. I paid more for it the first time that it came out. I paid close to about $50 or $60, if memory serves. And it's a solid game, and I kind of like the idea of going back to it. I'm angry at Square for shutting down those guys that were doing the total reimagining of it using current generation technology on the PC. I think that could have been very, very fun to play.
Yeah, you've heard about the Chrono Trigger Resurrection project, right?
That's the one I'm talking about right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a shame. From what I understood, Square Enix was fine with it for a while, and then maybe it was they thought about having plans of making an advanced version of Chrono Trigger, which of course probably got delayed, and that might have been what struck them to send a cease and desist order to the project.
Yeah. Still, I'm sad that they didn't just find a way to somehow port that over to a current generation system, or even just the PS2. I don't imagine it would be that hard to run those kinds of graphics on PS2, would it?
Not really. It was kind of this kind of stuff that what would be a term? It seemed kind of, I mean, it's almost kind of like fan fictionist graphics.
You mean Dojin Soft?
Yeah, that would be the. Let me turn off my phone there. Yes, it seemed. But, you know, kind of like a, well, I mean, it was a fan game, and that's how it looked, and so you really, you know, there's a lot of exaggerations with the characters and everything, but it was still would have been interesting to see how it would have went. I think that's something a lot of fans wish they could do with older games is revision them and, you know, our current technology. And I noticed that something with the Chrono Trigger port, a lot of people were disappointed that it retained the original graphics and no improvements with that.
Well, the nice thing about that's probably a good idea, though. The DS isn't that powerful as far as handhelds go, and the storage on it is sort of limited. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing it, because I absolutely loved Portrait of Ruin, and I thought it was a very good Castlevania game, but it still wasn't as pretty as some of the artwork for the other Castlevanias for current generation systems.
Well, also, I think something another thing. I haven't played Final Fantasy IV DS yet, but I wasn't. I noticed that was the big thing about the game, that now, you know, it was in 3D, but I saw some screenshots and I wasn't really that impressed. I mean, I still want to give it a try, but it didn't look here. I mean, I'll just send you what I'm talking about.
Okay.
If you can tell me what you think about that.
That kind of looks like Mega Man Legends. In terms of
yeah.
And that's a game that many people seem to hate, but I really do love. It's very unique, and I kind of hope that they will someday make Mega Man Legends 3. But let's not get off topic too much.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that with those kind of graphics, like, you know, that screenshot I showed you, they would be kind of forced to downsize a lot of the unique characteristics with the character designs.
Yeah.
Which is a problem with a lot of 3D, is that, you know, you have a great character design, and then end game, it just doesn't look as good.
Well, that's the problem with not using sprites. It's sort of what happens when you try to make a superhero movie using live action, and the costumes end up looking very silly when they're in real space, as opposed to when they're drawn on in the comic book.
Yeah, I think there's just there's a lot of trial and error. A good example is a lot of fans complaining about the movie The Spirit coming out, how in the comic book he wears a blue suit, and in the movie he wears a black suit, and then Frank Miller had addressed this issue, talking about how the only reason why that changed is because the blue suit would have looked really stupid on film, and
yes.
I think that's a good example of how when you convert 2D to 3D, or, you know, even,
live action.
Yeah, which is still 2D to 3D when you think about it. Hell, you know, that there are some changes you have to make in order to keep that going. In fact, hey, you know, this is another picture I found that pretty much shows, you know, great character designs, and then how you translate, and yeah.
Well, I kind of like Rydia. She's
yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah, but if you notice the picture of her from the FMV, which, you know, of course, an FMV will allow a lot more detail compared to her character model, you know, it's a lot of downsizing there.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. It's very much a downgrade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, kind of reminds me, the best example would be, they had announced East 1, 2 for the DS, and I was really curious about this because I had played the PC and the PS2 remakes, the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw there was some gameplay footage and some screens, and they had turned it into this 3D mess from even in motion. I think I showed you some screenshots of that. They just took, you know, a really good-looking 2D game, and then, you know, now
it's... And just took it over a barrel and, you know, started...
Yeah, check that out, man.
Okay, let's see this. I'm going to take a look at that. Well, that's...
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, and compared to, you know, this is from the PC or PS2 version, you know, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, you can't see the illustration, folks, but I can, and it's very underwhelming. I kind of wish they had kept it the same.
We'll post those for anyone who wants to see these.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we should put up those links so that the people at home can see it. I'll tell you what, the Ease 1 and 2 Eternal 1, where he's fighting the boss, that doesn't look as bad as I might have expected it to.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you see that, you know, it's sticking, you know, with the, where he's fighting the boss, it's 2D graphics, and everything looks really well detailed and really drawn, and whereas when it was in 3D, because they had to sacrifice some of that detail in order to enter 3D.
Right.
And, you know, to also deal with DS's limitations, which is something I'm kind of glad looking at a lot of these screenshots that it was something, you know, Chrono Trigger didn't really make that jump, at least just yet, with the DS. Because I think, as far as its 2D graphics go, I think everything is fine. The colors were fine. Everything looked very good. And there wasn't really anything I could think of that could be changed. Is there anything that, do you think graphic-wise, should be changed or should have been changed?
No, it's fine. And to be honest with you, if I could get more of some of the old classic games, but with but the graphics wouldn't be that much different from what they were back then, I really wouldn't care. I would love to have Symphony of Night 2, even if it had just the same type of graphics as the original. I wouldn't really care that much.
Yeah, I don't think, well, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Because Igarashi doesn't really seem to understand what makes the series tick.
Yeah, I noticed the push to 3D, you know, that's a good example, and that's just something that hadn't worked out. And now you think about Chrono Cross, which was kind of a 3D game, you know, re-rendered backgrounds.
I think we need to put the word game in quotes for that, because that was extremely underwhelming. Hey guys, let's take everything that made Chrono Trigger fun and original and exciting to play and take it out. Let's light that fire. Yeah,
well, I mean, I don't think they thought of it like that. I just think that they had a new idea, and then it just didn't translate too well, and it obviously wasn't something that...
Well, I have my own little conspiracy theory in regards to that. I think that they wanted to do a different game, but they were afraid of how the market would react to that, so they decided to try and pigeonhole it into a new an existing franchise, and that's why it feels like it doesn't belong, because it's a different story that doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's been an accusation of a lot of games, and then some developers even admit to that. You know, the best example is Silent Hill 4, which was written. Yeah, and I to be honest, Silent Hill 4 I thought started out really interesting. It wasn't until the last half and
when you had to start backtracking and going through the same missions that you had gone through again, but with a player character, an NPC that you had to support the entire time.
Yeah, that was. real quick, that was kind of why I just go over this before we wrap up the what they're adding to the DS version of Chrono Trigger. Is there something like a monster dungeon apparently? Monster Battling Edition. Let's check that out. Yes, it's some kind of monster arena. Maybe look from the sound of it, similar to the, you know, the Final Fantasy VII monster arena, where I guess you fight different bosses or new bosses in that area.
Is it a boss rush?
I wouldn't be surprised. There is a boss rush mode in there. Again, not much information is out about it. Let's see what else is there. There's the new monster. I don't think. What's Magus' sister's name?
Good question. Is it? It's Shala. There we go. It's Shala. Yeah, she's the one that was lost in time.
Yeah, I know that there was a rumor about her being a playable character, and that was originally meant to be a playable character in the original Chrono Trigger, but that doesn't seem like it's going to ever happen.
No,
I think
that's
a shame. Which it kind of even goes back to my argument about how Magus, he didn't really seem like he had very unique text, and maybe, you know, him and his sister could have had something together.
Oh, absolutely.
But But maybe it is for the best. I'm pretty sure they would have been, you know, too similar of characters. In fact, what probably could have even happened was they probably originally want Shala to be the character in Magus's place, but they decided they picked Magus over her, which is really odd because Magus is, you know, he was the villain the first half of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holly just all of a sudden turns, you know, well, you know, good, but...
We understand his motives, but that doesn't make him any less ruthless, and that's why you can still kill him with Frog.
Yeah, in fact, Frog's ending is he goes out and kills him.
Yeah.
I mentioned that the new boss is supposedly a new ending to go with that, so I wonder how, you know, all that's gonna play out.
What if Probably Shala is the new boss?
Oh, that would. Shala, from what I remember, she's in Chrono Cross.
Unfortunately, so yeah, she's the girl that's trapped in that big crystal on the top of that weird enemy's back.
Yeah, so that's probably not really gonna happen.
But I kind of like treating Chrono Cross as though it's really bad fan fiction because it feels like it is.
Yeah, but the problem is that, you know, Square doesn't really see it that way. And that's kind of like why we have, you know, Terminator 3 and 4 coming out, you know, whereas...
Talk to the hand.
Yeah. I just remembered the biggest question... some fans are wondering if they're going to bring back Singing Mountain. I don't know if you've heard about Singing Mountain.
No, I haven't. Why don't you give me the info on that one?
Singing Mountain was a dungeon that was cut out of the original game. In fact, there's a beta ROM of Chrono Trigger that's, you know, out there if you know where to get it. Mm-hmm. And it was in the BC time period where you find, I believe it was Ayla the Cavewoman?
Right.
Yeah. And in basically from what I was reading, the dungeon itself, it was cut out because it didn't really seem to serve much purpose or anything to really advance the game. It was really just a kind of an extra area. But what was the most appealing about the dungeon was the fact that There was a song, the Singing Mountain had a unique song that was included in the soundtrack CD. It was a really nice song too. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, from reading from an article a while back, the creator said that the dungeon didn't really contain much and it didn't really have anything to advance the storyline. So he just cut it out because, mm-hmm. From what I was reading, the cartridge was already running low on space, and they had to make room for it.
They really had to cram to get everything in there.
At
the time, though, the programming for those games was really, really well done. Now that storage is not an issue, the source code for games is is much sloppier than it was back then. Back then, they had to figure out how to squeeze every little drop of performance out of that little tiny cartridge.
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of hoping they do something with the, you know, maybe bring back the Singing Mountain, or at least do something with the musical track, Singing Mountain, which was a very good track.
Yeah. Hope so.
Yeah. But I remember they were so low on space at the time that they had to cut it out in order to, you know, implement the Black Omen, which of course is a very important part of the storyline.
Yeah.
So I guess we pretty much covered everything
so.
As far as we know.
As far as the Chrono Trigger goes. So we're going to go to a different topic.
All right. So... So I know one of the things you were concerned about was the new Resident Evil movie.
Well, yes, Resident Evil Generation. It's an all-new CGI movie, but this time Capcom is doing it themselves. They've hired a director that they know from Japan who is going to make the movie. And the crazy thing about this new Resident Evil movie is it has to do with the storyline to the games, and the characters in it are Resident Evil characters.
So the game is canon to the storyline?
Well, the movie is canon to that. They've unfortunately, a lot of the elements from the other Resident Evil movies, the ones made by Anderson, have mm-hmm. since been partially incorporated into RE canon. The AI was and the Hive appeared in Resident Evil Chronicles, which made me extremely sad because I hated those movies, to be honest with you, and didn't want anything with them associated with the real Resident Evil.
What made the movies even kind of confusing? I remember it was the first movie. They had the liquor, and the liquor it was really confusing. The liquor attacked somebody, and after the liquor attacked somebody, it mutated into something five times.
It became a nemesis creation. Really canonical. As far as I can remember, and this is
wait. This is what happened. That's right. When the liquor killed somebody, it mutated into like something big, five times the mass.
That would be the nemesis, and that's just completely incorrect. First of all, tyrants are never created by a fluke like that. They come about as a result of direct genetic manipulation by the Umbrella Corporation, and they have to have the adrenal gland of a teenager who died in the worst and most terrifying circumstances imaginable to catalyze the transformation. So getting bit by a liquor would not transform anyone into a tyrant creature.
It was the liquor itself, how the liquor itself mutated into...
Yes.
It was something like five times as mass, I'm not really sure how to describe it.
Okay,
like
when they're I know how liquors are formed from Thomas Wilde's notes on the thing. When a human being who is already infected with the T-virus but hasn't turned into a zombie yet gets a direct injection of it, then their system really changes and they become a liquor.
Yeah, but how exactly did... But if you remember from the first movie, the liquor had mutated into like if you remember at the end of the first movie when they're fighting it on the subway, mm-hmm. the train, it would turn into this big. Not really even really sure how to describe it.
I know what you're talking about.
That part of the movie
after it killed and ate someone,
that was what
flesh caused it to mutate. That doesn't happen in the games.
Yeah, because you fight, you know, several of them throughout the series, and how it, comes from that's just a little strange.
The fun thing about RE, at least as Thomas Wilde noted when he was reviewing the games, is that they don't really bother explaining how the T-virus works. There's a virus and there's zombies, and that's good enough for the Japanese people. And one of the things that they do when they try to adapt it, at least for the American version, is to come up with all these bullshit pseudoscientific explanations for it. But anyhow, moving on to Degeneration, I'll mention some of the things that I do like about that. One, the G-type is back, and I remember you talked about how you liked Birkin.
Mr. X.
No, you like Mr. X, who is a tyrant. Okay,
yeah,
Birkin
both. Yeah, well, I like both of them. The boss, the two bosses of Resident Evil 2.
Well, since the G-type is back, you'll get a chance to see that thing imagined with CGI graphics, which should be very fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Another thing that I'm excited about that... I hope that they mentioned a few other things that happened to the other heroes from the game. I'd love to know what happened to Jill, because it's certainly been a while since we've heard from her. I haven't seen her in anything RE-related since 3, Resident Evil Nemesis.
that's something I've actually been kind of concerned about is, you know, they keep introducing all these new playable characters. I think we've gone to, like, there's Chris and Jill, and then in the second one there's Claire and Leon, and the third one it's Jill, but then there's I believe it's what is the other guy's
Carlos
name?
Carlos Oliveira, who was a member of the Biohazard let me see, the UBCS, the Umbrella Biohazard Containment Squad. No, it's the Countermeasure Service. There we go. Let me correct myself.
And then in Zero, there was Rebecca Chambers. And
but Rebecca was present in Resident Evil 1. She was Chris's partner.
Yeah, but she was playable in Zero.
Yes. And Zero was also the one that gifted us with all those bizarre mutant leeches. I think that the guy who made that had a very big leech fetish. Because there were leeches, and the word leech appears almost as much as mitochondria does in the Parasite Eve game.
I believe there was another character in that. It's been a while, but there was another character that was playable in Resident Evil Zero, I believe.
Yeah, there was. Is it Billy Fordham? I haven't played it for a while, so it's getting harder for me to remember. It was an ex-con, and he disappears. He escapes. Rebecca lets him go, and then she goes back to the mansion, and that's why she is in the safe room when you first encounter her with Chris.
So already there, it's about a good, that's at least 5, 6, maybe 7 characters that were playable, and I wonder what exactly were they going to do with all these characters, and that also is kind of interesting. You know, is this going to be Capcom's Castlevania now with the movie coming out and the games and the, also don't forget, I also forgot the side story games, which also had their own characters like Survivor and Dead Aim, the Resident Evil Online.
There are even Resident Evil drama CDs, or Biohazard, as it's called in Japan, drama CDs, where you can find out more about that. I'm not sure if those count as canon or not.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious, is, you know, Capcom keeps building on this world, but when it comes to the climax of the series, you know, are they going to start killing off, you know, some of these characters who we became attached to and were playable, or are they going to just, you know, have a full house?
They may end up having a full house. And I say this based on how agile and nimble Leon was in RE4. He was a one-man, let me see, what do you call those Spanish zombie things? It's not the guardrails. I forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, dodging, ducking, and weaving. He had the 5 Ds of dodgeball all tied up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing I was sort of looking forward to as far as the upcoming RE movie is the director seems to not want to completely reinvent the wheel as far as his directing style goes. One of the things that he said about the movies that came out over here was way too much shaky cam, no real use of dramatic angles, which is something that the original games had in spades.
The other thing is, since you mentioned dramatic, it didn't seem like there was really much drama, per se. Like, I couldn't really get attached or anything to the characters. The story, it seemed very dry. But the best example is the first one, where you're introduced with all these characters, and then they get killed off, like, you know, 5 people at least get killed off by lasers in that room, and then you keep meeting some other characters, and then they just kind of get killed off.
Yeah, but that isn't the game, that's the movie.
Yeah, and it's a lot, that's what's really interesting compared to the game and the movie, that they, it seemed like the director just didn't even really so much care about the characters, but trying to show an exhibition that was poorly done to make it work.
And not only that, but the violence wasn't, in addition to it happening to a bunch of people that we didn't care about, It was also heavily edited to make it PG-13, and PG-13 is the new R, I guess, in movies.
I thought the Resident Evil movies were rated R, from what I remember. Like, I thought they were all rated R.
Let me check on that.
Yeah, I'm checking, I'm looking at, yeah, Resident Evil Extinction was rated R.
Okay.
Yeah, Apocalypse was R. But, I mean, I can see where you're going. It's easy to think that, you know, they would be...
It felt very odd for me to read.
Yeah,
I remembered it being PG-13, but then again, I guess that's starting to change too. I've seen a lot of R-rated PG-13 movies these days.
Yeah,
like The Dark Knight or Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I think that's something that kind of reflects on, you know, the way the trend movies are, and it could be easy to go back and think, oh yeah, Resident Evil, a movie that was trying to, you know, appeal mostly to the masses rather than the existing fan base, you would think something like that. You know, our Max Payne is the greatest example. A game which was most famous for its slow motion headshots was PG-13.
Yeah.
The movie, yeah. So it's kind of easy to really get those kind of confused and think back, oh, that probably was PG-13 because it was another film like Max Payne that was more attempting to appeal to the masses.
Yeah.
As opposed to the fan base was already there, which they could just build off of and still appeal to the wider audience.
Yep. There was something else about Degeneration that I wanted to mention that I was looking forward to. The zombies, and it looked nice and scary in that classic George Romero sort of way, where they don't run, they take their time getting to you, but they're not going to stop coming. And that, to me, appeals to what the core of what zombies are all about. They are not very fast, but they are determined. It's a very obvious metaphor for a metaphorical representation of death itself. It just keeps coming at you. Maybe not quickly, but it's going to keep coming, and sooner or later it'll come and be there.
So, is the movie, is it going to have any of the, the boss type characters, or maybe even introduce a newer, you know, big boss type character?
Since this is a movie made by Capcom themselves, I think it's almost impossible for Albert Wesker, the mastermind behind a lot of the events in the series, to not make at least a cameo. They've got to have some sort of nod there for his fans.
But will we see anything like Tyrant or Mr. X?
The thing about that is that those were created in a special plants. They weren't mass-produced because making one requires a lot of TLC. But if Umbrella is back, and this is the result of Umbrella, it might be possible. Not only that, but after Umbrella went out of business, it's possible that someone took one of those on ice and just kept it in stasis and decided to thaw it out.
Yeah. We'll have to see how that plays out. Was this movie released in theaters, or was it
Degeneration
only released? Yes. Was it?
It's not out yet. It's going to be direct to video, which I think is a great idea, because that way they can do a small enough production so that they can make money, even if only the fans like it.
Hmm.
And also, they don't have to worry about people comparing it to the other Resident Evil, quote, movies, unquote, from Paul Anderson, starring his girlfriend, whose role he decided to inflate.
Oh, I didn't know that they were together.
She's his wife now. So that's one of the reasons why she is such a Mary Sue in the movies.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never really turns out very well, to be honest.
Well, if they're happily married, it's fun, but I don't see the superpowered human character in a Resident Evil movie, which is totally against the spirit of the game, because in the game, you're just one guy who moves like a tank, who is relatively slow, and has barely enough ammo to get the mission done.
Yeah, well, I'm, that is...
That was one of the things that made me sad about the second one. I was excited about the idea of Nemesis hunting down the remaining stars because I thought that you could make a very fast-paced and intense dramatic-type situation as the remaining stars try to band together and avoid dying in this city full of zombies with a specific entity hunting them down. Of course, they decided not to do that. And so they had Alice and the tyrant, who is now revealed to be Matt from the first movie, band together to take on Umbrella. It is very tear-inducing. Yeah.
So
go off all exciting and taunt.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Although if we ever got live viewers, they would have to deal with it.
Well, let's see. The DVD and Blu-ray releases are slated for December 17th, 2008 in Japan and December 30th, 2008 in North America. Yeah.
So, is there anything else you'd like to address about the film that I can think of?
Not really. I was just looking forward to finding out what was going on with the movie, and I was also kind of excited about the revelation that we're going to have about what's going on with Umbrella Corporation in the film as well. In it, a terrorist has obtained the T-virus, and he threatens to release it in every major city on Earth simultaneously unless U.S. President finally reveals to the public the truth of what happened at Raccoon City.
That seems kind of counterprotective in a way, but I imagine they just want, a storyline just to kind of get the action going, not really trying to focus on what exactly it is.
Yep.
Because,
I just found out something. Curtis used to work for Umbrella, and he smuggled out one of their tyrants. So I'm sure that that's going to be in the movie, and he also deliberately infects himself with the G-virus, turning him into a G-type. So we're going to have a bit of... it's going to be quite a bit like RE2 then, because you'll have the G-type and a tyrant going up against Claire and Leon Kennedy. Well, I'm pumped.
That should be interesting.
I hope.
Hopefully that will translate well in as far as, maybe not live action, but...
CGI.
Yeah. In the film, I should say.
All right. Well, I think that this turned out really well, and I enjoyed talking with you, and I think that we put on a good show for our audience.
There's one thing I want to mention real quick. If you're familiar with the website The Magic Box, I mostly use Firefox, and whenever I try to access the website, it says that it's here. You can check it out. I mean, you use Firefox.
TheMagicBox.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a really popular game site for, import news and everything like that. For example, last time I had accessed the website, they had screenshots of Blood of Bahamut, which was a new game by Square a lot of people were curious about, but whenever I try to access the website in Firefox, I get a really strange, screen that I haven't seen before. I don't know. Are you able to access it?
Okay. I know what you're talking about now. There's the horizontal dash magic box, one word, .com, which is what you're thinking of. But if you just type in the magic box as one word, .com, then it shows you offers from GoDaddy for this domain.
Yeah, it's the horizontal dash up. This is the I get this when I try to access it, which is really strange because I can access it in Internet Explorer because, Internet Explorer is the most vulnerable browser out there on the Internet. And
you really shouldn't be using Internet Explorer on the Internet.
Yeah, I know that I don't, but I'm just kind of curious as to if I was even able to access it, and then when I try to access the website on Firefox, I get that, screen saying...
I didn't receive any warning from that. But then again, I have AdBlock Plus and a whole bunch of customizations And that, so that maybe that stopped it from opening up that little flash or whatever it is that it wanted to do that prompted your warning.
Yeah, well, you get the option to the ignore the warning, but Firefox, I mean, I use the latest version, it mentions that the site itself is, you know, problematic, like there's something wrong with it, as if, you know, it has a virus or something.
I hope not.
Which is really weird because it is a, you know, a popular game website, something I go to every day.
Well, if they if they built it using code recycled from another site, then they could have copied that thing from the original site that had that.
I think it mostly has to do with the advertisements on the website.
Yeah, that's most likely it, because some of the people that do the advertising are not very honest.
Yeah, so, you know, Magicbox is a very good website that, you know, mostly discusses games that, you know, appeal to us and has that coverage and screenshots and even sales numbers in Japan that we care about, but at the same time, the advertisers on there, whatever code they're using, is messing that up.
Yep.
Anyway, I guess we can pretty much wrap it up with that, so...
Yeah. There are a number of ideas I have, and I'll stop recording now. So, good night, everybody. But I'll stay on the phone with you. Let me go ahead and stop recording, and keep the recording and pause.